I do have something on my heart, and I certainly want Brother John to know that we are thinking of him. I've dealt with migraines before, and it's a dark place. In fact, dark places are usually where it helps the most to get rid of the migraines. I do think that we're created that we remember things in triplets. As we know, three is a very powerful number in God's numerology, if you will, for man. And there are three things that I think we all struggle with that we should intentionally understand why the struggle is so difficult at times, and why coming here to worship our Lord and hear a message of hope and encouragement is such a great blessing. And I'm glad that it's on Facebook and that other people get to hear that same message of hope. The three things that constantly swirl around our experience is, first of all, something John has always coined as habituation. Habituation is kind of that environment we either grew up in, that we live in right now, the way we operate, the way we think, the way we make decisions, the way we respond to stimulus. And much like a sermon he preached a few weeks ago, the children of Israel come out of slavery, and God has to teach them a whole new language, because all they've known their whole life is that they're slaves. And that's all they've ever been. And some of us were raised in an environment where all we've ever felt like was imprisoned. Whether it was by the way we were raised by our parents, because they were imperfect. Maybe it was the way we experienced things at school. Maybe we were bullied. Maybe we just didn't feel like we fit in. And it goes into adulthood. Sometimes we just don't feel like we ever fit in. Beyond habituation is the world that we live in. The Bible's very clear about the world of sin is filled with not just people who are out to attack us, but more deeply, Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking to devour the children of God, that if it were possible, that he could stir their very faith and foundation. So there are spiritual forces at work in this world of sin that constantly bring us down, that constantly put a filter over the real reality that God would have us to experience in our lives. And the third area that we're all very intimately aware of on an individual basis is our nature of sin. And that's why the text that Brother John chose for today to follow up on his sermon on anxiety is so impactful to me, because these two verses create a lot of tension in my experience. And by way of confession, I think the world has some real issues with gender problems. And we're not talking about what's on the news. We're talking about the way we view ourselves when we look at the mirror. So, as a man, when I read a text that said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," it goes against everything that I'm taught by the world, by my habituation, and by my sinful nature of what it means to be poor in spirit. Because as a man, I'm supposed to be strong. I'm never supposed to show weakness. As a man in this world, to show success and show how great I am and how talented I am, I seek the riches of this world. I seek position. I seek good grades. I seek validation from so many other factors in my life. And so many of us, whether we're male or female, go through life wondering, I'm confused. I'm inadequate. And so the text beautifully hits you where the Spirit lives. It's okay, because God says, "Blessed are you who feel inferior, who feel inadequate, who feel left out, who don't understand how maybe people can spend a whole day intensely wondering whether their football team will win." Your identity is in the school you went to, or even the church you attend. Is it a big building? Does it have 10,000 members or more? Where you go to work? What's your title? My heart bleeds for all the mothers who stay home with children, who perhaps have college degrees, but are invalidated because the world says, well, you're just a stay-at-home mother. You don't work. That's painful to live through, but I'm glad the text speaks to women. Blessed are you who feel inadequate, who feel imperfect, who basically feel empty at times. What and who am I? Why do I have no value? Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And then we wonder, well, what's the kingdom of heaven? And much to John's sermon last week, if you go to Romans 14, 17, it's very clear what the kingdom of heaven is not. It says it is not meat or drink. And the Lord told us that it's not the clothes you wear, the food you eat. Look at the birds, look at the grass. Constantly trying to give us what the kingdom of heaven is. And that text goes on to explain exactly what it is. It is righteousness. Well, then we get into a theological conversation about, well, what is righteousness? And we just simply have to understand what the word means, which is being made right or being made whole. And all of us being sinful in our nature, in our habituation, and the way we address the world around us, we were made right by our Lord and Savior. And that relationship that was broken with our Creator was restored. And now God seeks to have a relationship with each of us to make us know that in Christ we are right with Him, we are whole, we have value. He moves on from righteousness and says the kingdom of heaven is peace. Once again, the wall of enmity, the wall of sin that keeps us from understanding that God truly loves us as His children and has a great life for us and a great plan for us and He has a great destination for us is now at peace. We can approach our Lord with no barriers at all. And that's hard for us to understand, perhaps, in some of the ways we've been mixed up in our lives here on this earth. And the last part of the kingdom of heaven is joy. How much peace and joy would we really have when we understand that we're right with God and that He's after our best interest? And back to the text, that we're blessed because we're poor in spirit. The second text that John moved into was, blessed are they that mourn. As a man, you're taught when you hurt yourself or when your feelings are hurt, it's not manly for you to cry, let alone mourn. But in our existence, I'm so glad Galatians, I think it's 3:28, talks about in Christ, there is no Jew or Greek. There is no free or bond. There is no male or female. You're all one in Christ. You're all His children. And individually, He sees you and validates you and gives you the comfort because He knows what grieves your soul and what makes you mourn. So blessed are they that mourn. Please look past the wrong validators that this world is trying to define for you in all of your experience. I'm learning, the reason I asked for prayer this morning on the transition is I struggled this week because of my sinful nature, because of my habituation, and because the world has defined me differently than what God defines me as. So it looks very good that I'll probably get a job. And I appreciate so deeply all of your prayers because it's been a long 10 months. But it looks like I'll have a job I don't even know what the title will be. I do know that the base income is a third of what I'm used to making. So to put that in context, if you're making $9 an hour, tomorrow you go to work, you make $3 an hour. For those of you who make $900 a month, now you're going to make $300 a month. But more importantly, when you look at the statistics, once again, the world defines you. They surveyed 10,000 people, men and women, and they ask, what would make a good husband or partner? And one of the questions was, how is important that that individual is employed and has a job? 81% of people, men and women, said that that was really important. So for 9 months, my wife has loved me. My God has loved me. And I haven't had a job. 81%, to put it in perspective, we have never and probably never will ever see a presidential election where someone can get 60% of the vote, let alone 81%. Something that important. But all of us seem to agree that your value is determined on whether you have a job or not. Well, I'm thankful that my wife reminded me every day that I had value, even though I was going through self-loathing, because I was part of that 81% that said, you can't be a good partner, you can't be a good husband, and you certainly can't be a valuable individual in society if you don't have a job. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. When we look around us, even in our own experience, at the homeless, at the jobless, at the people who feel less than engaged in how the world works, we are to be a reflection of the beatitude that said, blessed are you that are poor in spirit. Blessed are you that mourn. Because you have the kingdom of heaven within you. And that kingdom of heaven is the spirit of the living God, who is defined as the comforter. And we should be comforting those around us. I hope you'll keep those words in mind and keep rich in your prayers as we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for all the many blessings that you've given us and provided for us. Thank you for the righteousness that you continually reveal to us in your Son and in those around us, that we have been made right with you through his blood and through his life, and we look forward to deeper understanding of what that righteousness means to us here as we sojourn and pilgrim toward our home in heaven. We're thankful for the peace that you provide for us, even when we kick and scratch and claw against it. We're thankful that you can show us the joy in young children's faces, in the small things in life that we take for granted so often because the world thinks of bigger things. Help us to keep our perspective. Help us to release ourselves from the bondage of anxiousness and worry and fear that the devil uses so intricately in all the things that are given to our senses and fight against our faith and our battle here to be disciples, to be children, to learn from you. Lord, we'd ask that Brother Rich would bring forth more messages from you in his relationship, in his walk with the Lord that we serve here this morning, that we humbly worship and ask that your Spirit be with us here, be with so many people who are suffering today, whether it be through the storms of a hurricane in San Juan and throughout Puerto Rico, or the storms of life that this world can throw at people. We'd ask that your Spirit would renew in those of your children who seek you out to seek your righteousness, your peace, your joy. We think of those that are failing in health, whether it be physical or mental. We think of those people who struggle with emotional imbalance and anxiety. And we think most of all those people who are seeking a deeper spiritual understanding of what it is to walk on this earth for such a short time. We'd ask that you'd remind us very clearly today that there is a promise that this is not our home, this is not where we belong. The colors of the shirts we wear on Saturday won't mean a thing in heaven. Lord, red is your color. We're glad that you're not an American, you're not a Republican or a Democrat, but you are God. And you've created us to be so much more than what we are today. And we'd ask that your Spirit would work within us, convict us, move us, direct us, guide us, and empower us to be the light that you declared us to be on that mount. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.